Well, it's a joy to worship together this morning. Appreciate the good singing that just helps us to worship the Lord. And here we are continuing our morning sermon series in Acts. We've just finished observing the Lord's table. And as followers of Jesus Christ who've been radically converted, which is the title of last week's message, we come around the table to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in the past. And yet when a person puts faith in Jesus Christ and is forgiven, really, right, life has just begun. And when a person becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will see evidences of that radical conversion. It's true in your life, and it certainly was true in the life of the Apostle Paul, who we've considered last week in Acts chapter 9. And we're going to look at his life yet again. The title of the message this morning is Marks of True Conversion. If you're not already open up, I invite you to open up to Acts chapter 9. Father, we thank you that we can open up your word as an act of worship. We ask that you would bless us. Lord, help us to have understanding. Help us to look at this passage as if looking at it for the first time with hearts open, Lord, to however your Spirit would work in our lives. Lord, we ask that you would be glorified in our time together. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to begin reading here in Acts chapter 9 just to help it be clear in our minds a little bit earlier than verse 8. I'll start in Acts chapter 9, verse 3. It says, as he, Saul, was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city. It will be told you what you must do. The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Paul, Saul, was radically converted. And he was never the same since he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, did Saul actually see Jesus Christ right here? Yeah, definitely, right? Go down to verse 17. Notice, Ananias departed into the house and after laying his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road. So we know that Saul literally saw Jesus Christ. Now, what's interesting is the best we know, Saul never saw Jesus Christ during Jesus' earthly ministry. This was the first time Saul saw Jesus Christ. And that bright light comes and he ends up being blinded. And he's radically converted. And we will see evidence of that conversion as we work through the text. And I want to point out a very simple message this morning. Five specific items in Saul's life that are marks of true conversion. It's true in Saul's life. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, they're true in your life. And really, all of them are similar. It's a man who's proud becoming humble. No doubt a defining characteristic of a true follower of Jesus Christ is humility. And we're going to see that in Saul's life. The first thing we're going to see in Saul's life is he's a man who, now that he's a follower of Jesus, he submits to God's will. Notice verse 8. Luke records, Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. And leading him by the hand, they brought him into Damascus. Here is the great apostle Saul, not an apostle, just been declared an apostle, who's submitting to God's will. A man who, according to Acts chapter 22, verse 10, we looked at this last week, says, Lord, what shall I do? He's going to do anything Jesus wants. And so here he is blind, and here's this helper, this believer, and what does he do? He grabs Saul by the hand. And Saul's okay with that. Now, that's not something that Saul would normally be okay with. Guys, we don't lead each other by the hand. We do that with children. If your young little daughter or son were out in the lobby after the service today and looked like maybe he or she was about to cry, I might say, honey, what's wrong? Oh, I don't know where my mommy is. I would say, honey, give me your hand, and I would walk him to you, and I would say, here's your mommy. Now, if Ward were walking in the lobby, and I said, Ward, what's up? And he says, I'm looking for Donna, which is his wife. I would not say, oh, Ward, take my hand. Here's Donna. You don't do that with big people. Here is the big Saul who just a little bit ago was throwing Christians in jail. He's the man. And now he's being led by the hand in a very humble way. But isn't that true of all who follow Jesus? We come to Jesus how? In humility. There's no room for proud people to come to Christ. You must humble yourself and come, right? Jesus said that in Luke 18:17. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. You know this. People maybe make fun of you. They laugh at you. Oh, you're one of those people who says, like, just come to Jesus and your life will change and you're born again and everything's different. Oh, it would be so nice to be a child and to believe that. But that is how we come to Jesus. We come with childlike faith. We take God at his word. We say, yes, that is what I believe. And thus Jesus says, we come to him as a child, and then what do? Once we come to him as a child, we follow him in childlike faith. What is that? That's humility. Saul was willing to do that. What's a testimony of someone who's truly a follower of Jesus Christ? You are no longer the king of your castle, right? How do most people go through life? Well, I'm going to go to this college. I'm going to major in this. And I'm going to have a certain business. And I'm going to marry this kind of girl or guy. And I want to live in that subdivision. And I'm going to have this kind of a house. And I'm going to travel. And there's so many things I want to do. See, I'm the king of my kingdom. And this is how life works. Until you humble yourself and you come to Jesus as a child. And then Jesus becomes your king. You're no longer a king. And our attitude changes. And rather than saying, I will, I will, I will, we come to Jesus and we say, Lord, what would you will? What do you want me to do? That's the humility that we see here in Saul. And that's the humility that testifies for all of us that we truly have come to the gospel. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. We not only humbly submit to God's will, no longer our own king, but there's something else we'll see, a second item in Saul's life, right? We humbly speak to God in prayer. Notice verse 9. It says, Saul was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight. Now, one commentary said that street actually still exists in Damascus. And inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. Notice in the end of verse 11, for he is praying. Why was it that Saul wasn't eating or drinking in verse 9? There's different ideas, but I know one thing for sure. Verse 11 makes it clear. He is praying. Saul is in prayer. So much in need of prayer. Hey, you want something to eat? No time to eat. I'm praying. Okay. This is the mark of a follower of Jesus Christ. This is the mark of humility. Why do many people not pray? Because we don't do things that are a waste of time. Pray, like, really? I don't need that. You know, I have a plan. I have my day planned. I've taken seminars on how to organize my time. I know how to win friends and influence people. I know where I'm going. And I don't need his help, thank you. That's the proud attitude of most people. And then we come to Jesus. And Jesus begins to work in our hearts. And we realize, hey, we really are just children. And we aren't sure what to do. And God, we need you so much. And we begin praying, right? Solomon prayed this way. I read from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Solomon's prayer now. O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. Verse 9. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Here's a king saying, Lord, I know I'm a king, but in my eyes, I'm just a child. I don't know what I'm doing. I need your help. What's that called? That's called prayer. And when a person becomes a follower of Jesus Christ, what's an evidence that he's truly a follower of Jesus Christ? He's like Jesus. And if I'm going through life never asking the Lord for help, it's because I'm proud. If maybe kind of a silly illustration, but I think some of us will relate to it. If you're a child, think of your dad. If you're a woman, think of your husband. Or just even if you can't think of an exact example, I think the illustration will work. Have you ever seen a guy who's driving somewhere and he's lost and everyone knows it except him? Right? Honey, are you lost? No, I'm not lost. I know where I'm at. You know, where are we? South Carolina, you know. Honey, do you know where you're? I know where I'm going. Dad, I think we passed that gas station. Yeah, I know. I'm circling around, okay? And now, Dad, do you want me to take out Google? I don't need Google Maps, thank you, right? And it's maybe silly, even a touch funny, but there's that sense, at least in some of us, I don't need your help. I'm a guy, and I know how to find my way around town. But see, that's pride. A humble person is a person who comes to the Lord and says, Lord, I need you so much. I don't know how to live this life. I'm trying to follow Christ, but I need so much help. And so what are the evidences of true salvation? We see him in Saul's life. He submits to God's will. Secondly, he speaks to God in prayer. Now, when we pray, we're talking to God. You say, well, what happens when God talks to us? We would call that listening to his word. And that's the third thing. A humble person, a true believer, listens to the word of God. Notice what it says in verse 12. The Lord's still speaking here. And the Lord says, and he has seen in a vision, talking about Saul, a man named Ananias come and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he did to your saints at Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear his name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So, verse 17, Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. What is Saul doing? He's listening to the Lord. Right? It all begins in a vision, verse 12, right? The Lord says, Saul has seen a vision. And so the Lord reveals truth to Saul in a vision. Now, I would suggest that the Lord is not using visions today because we have a complete scripture. But it doesn't really change the fact that the Lord is still speaking to us today. He reveals truth to us how? Through the scriptures. Thus, if I am a man who says, you know, I really don't have time to read my Bible, to spend time in Bible reading. Why? Because, again, I don't need to. See, that's pride, and that's in all of us. And that controls us until we get saved. Now that we're followers of Christ, at least we're fighting against it. And in humility, we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, you know, I'm not the mini king anymore. You're the great king. I want to follow you. I need your help. I'm praying. So would you speak to me through the word? Which means what? Which means I am reading God's word. Why? A lot of reasons, but maybe the most basic is because I have to. Because I need to. Because I want to. You haven't seen this slide for a while. I know some of you got a little bit maybe thinking, you know, I'm getting almost tired of it, Greg. At the beginning of the year, you showed it again and again and again. Just a friendly, pastoral, brotherly reminder. How's your Bible reading going? You know, we had a number of messages at the beginning of the year where I've encouraged you, if you would choose to do it this way, and if another way works for you, that's fine. But to, if it works for you, many people don't go anywhere without their smartphones today, right? I know it's at least it's that way in my house. And you can leave your wallet behind, that's fine, but you don't go anywhere without your smartphone. And if that's true and your phone's with you, what a great way to get on a program. And we've talked about this. And the goal of life is not to say I've read through my Bible once this year, but all Christians have to be engaged in regular Bible reading to be in fellowship with God, because fellowship is communication. And if I'm not reading, he's not speaking to me. And so even if you're not doing it on your phone, whatever you're doing, and you don't have to do it in a year, the whole Bible, whatever you want to do, if I can say this, if you're not reading your Bible currently, and it's really a challenge, I usually encourage people, you know what, maybe we could just start with, would you want to read through the New Testament in a year? You say, Greg, how many people from Trinity have you sat down and actually said, grab your phone and let's download YouVersion together? I don't want to exaggerate, easily 25. And that's not, I mean, and that's wonderful. You say, when's the last time with somebody from Trinity, you talked to them, they were struggling, we talked about Bible reading, and they say, I know I should be reading my Bible, Greg, but I kind of got out of it, and we talked about it, and the next thing I helped them download the app. It's been less than 48 hours in a local coffee shop. Talking to a brother that, hey, I'm not saying reading your Bible is going to completely change everything, but it's certainly a necessary and incredibly important first step. And so let's pull up YouVersion. And after you're on there, let's go through Bible reading plans. And then if you're not used to reading your Bible, then just scroll down to partial Bible plans. And there's 20, 30 of them. And then come down, and the one I like to recommend is reading through the New Testament in a year. And then I typically will email or text that person once or twice, how's it going? And I even did that the last couple of days. Yeah, I'm doing it, Greg. Praise the Lord. And again, my goal is not the methodology. But if I really am a humble person, realizing, Lord, I want to submit to your will, but it's so hard and I need your help, and that's prayer. So would you please speak to me? That's reading God's word. If you're not reading God's word, God's not speaking to you. Some of you enjoy listening to sermons. I had something around the house I kind of delinquent on, and I wanted to get done yesterday. So I had about 5 hours yesterday. I got up a little bit early and was working on something around the house. You say, what do? Just my smartphone, and I'm downloading 6, 7, 8 sermons. These are sermons. Some I haven't heard before. Some I've already heard, and they've blessed me, and I need to be blessed again. And I download them on my phone, and I'm working around the house a little bit, and I'm listening to God's word preached. Why? Because I need it. I need it as much as you. I'm the one doing the preaching. I want to listen to other guys preach. We need to humbly say, Lord, speak to me. But there's a fourth thing we're going to see here in Saul's life. He humbly identifies with God's family. Notice what's going on in verse 18. It says in verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. He regained his sight, and he got up, and he was baptized. What does Saul do? He submits to baptism. Baptism is a rite of identification where people publicly say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. But remember, baptism is a rite of initiation. Baptism is, I'm a beginner and I've just come to Jesus. Saul is no beginner. The guy is theologically way up here. He's a famous rabbi. Do you remember what he said back in Galatians chapter 1? He writes in verse 13, you've heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Saul's the kind of guy, when he got his certificate and he graduated, he had the ribbon on his arm, right? In today's conversational designation, he was summa cum laude. Saul's the man. He's up here. Can you imagine how humbling that would be? To say, you know what, I used to think I'm somebody, I'm a nobody. I'll be baptized. You know, and I was persecuting the church of God, and now I'm a member of it. How humbling that would be. And you say, what did Saul do? He was willing to be humbly baptized and to identify with God's people as part of God's family. I'll never forget. I've been blessed and so thankful to do a number of baptisms, many baptisms. But one that really stays with me is I baptized. Now, she's not the only mature adult I've baptized, but I baptized a woman, I believe she would have been in her upper 60s or low 70s, who had been a believer for many, many years. And I was talking to her, and I just asked, I mean, I'm so glad you want to be baptized, but you've been a Christian for so long. Why are you wanting to be baptized now? And she just said, Greg, I've never been baptized. And I was kind of ashamed to admit that, because everybody thinks I am a Christian, and I've been a believer a long time. But, you know, once you get older and you haven't been baptized, you got to kind of like stand up and say, I've been a Christian a long time and I should have been baptized, but I wasn't. And then she finally humbled herself. You say, why would she be willing to do that? Because she's a follower of Jesus. And when we follow Jesus, then we're willing to humble ourselves. Saul was. And all of us, we identify with God's family through baptism. Saul did. And the fifth and final thing we're going to see here in the text, notice verse 19. It says of Saul, and he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. You say, what's going on in this text? Here is Saul hanging out with the disciples. You say, why? Because that's whom he wanted to be with. You know what's the mark of regeneration, a mark of radical conversion? I want to be with God's people. And I hear people say, I love Jesus Christ, but I don't like the church. And I think, you don't like the Bible either because you haven't read it. Because the Bible knows nothing of that. The Bible makes it clear that one evidence of true regeneration is a love for God's people. See, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I have nothing to be proud of. And I look at you and you're a sinner saved by grace. And I want to worship God with you. And when I see that you have faults and you see that I have faults, it doesn't really change anything because all of us realize we don't deserve this Christian thing anyway. But yet I want to be with other people who know my Christ so that we can encourage one another as we worship Christ. And that love is something that God gives us, right? John puts it this way in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, beloved, speaking to believers, let us love one another. So one another means other Christians. For love is from God, and everyone who loves. Now, when it says everyone who loves, In context, that's love one another. We're not talking about everybody who loves college football or something like that. Everyone who loves other Christians is born of God and knows God. You know what's one of the key marks of your salvation is you love other Christians. Never cross your mind to say, I don't go to church, a bunch of hypocrites. And this room is filled with a bunch of hypocrites, just like me and just like you. We're all that way, right? God doesn't save perfect people. God saves wicked sinners. And you're a testimony to that, as am I. And we love everyone who's a believer. Doesn't mean you don't love unbelievers. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, you say, Greg, are you saying if I don't love other Christians, I'm not a believer? I'm not going to say anything. Let's just see what the Bible says. The one who does not love other Christians does not know God. For God is love. Yeah? And that's what John writes. And then in verse 11, just a few verses later, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And even as you fail me and disappoint me, I'm just reminded of the fact that I disappoint and fail God every day, and he still loves me. So I see you, and you disappoint me, and you fail me, and I love you. Why? Because God loves me when I do that to him. And then when I disappoint you and fail you, you don't say, man, I don't love Greg anymore. I'm out of here. You say, no. I do that to God every day, and he never quits loving me. So why would I quit loving Greg just because he failed me and disappointed me? See, once we come to Christ, we are so blown away by his love for us that it makes us love other believers. And this is what we see in the text. A person who says, I'm not going back to church, I've been hurt. You say, what is that? That's a very proud person. A follower of Christ says, you know what? I have been hurt, but I'm going back. You want to know why? Because I'm going to be a blessing to somebody. Hebrews 10:23-5, you know this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. He who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. See, I want to encourage you to love and good deeds, and you want to encourage me. Not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. People will come to me. It was a regular thing. I'm not thinking of anybody in particular. I've been to church and no one reached out to me. That's how unsaved people talk. You know what a mark of regeneration is? I'm going to go and worship with the church family so I can be a blessing to somebody. That's humility. See, pride is you reach out to me. Humility is I die on a cross for you. That's what Jesus did. Followers of Jesus are like Jesus. See, I'm not coming here to be encouraged by somebody, even though I do need your encouragement. By God's grace, I'm coming because I want to be a blessing to somebody. I've actually had people say, you know, Greg, I'm not going to see you for a while because you're on a sermon series that I don't really have a lot of interest in. And to be frank, I don't know that I would need it. And again, we all learn not to say what we think. Okay? But I always think the same thing. Did it ever cross your mind that maybe you come not to receive but to give? Did you ever think it's okay to sit in a service and to hear a sermon and you know it all? And maybe you could even honestly say, I could preach it better than you. And maybe you can. But it really doesn't matter because it never crossed your mind as a follower of the humble Lord Jesus that you were coming to get. You were walking up that sidewalk praying, oh Lord, I want to be a blessing to somebody today. Right? I was walking out of our Bible study this morning and I was talking to a brother and just kind of said to him, you know, what we covered today was pretty basic and I know what area you spend your life in and you know so much more than I do. And I know it's pretty basic. I hope that was all right. And with no hesitation, he said to me, you know what, Pastor Greg? He said, that review was absolutely wonderful. It encouraged me. I love it. Thank you. Thank the church for having this series. And you know what I thought? I thought, he's my brother. He's my brother because he's encouraging me. See, he didn't say, I know all this, I don't need anything else. Man, you're wasting. If it crossed his mind, he didn't show it. He was too busy encouraging me. And I thought, that's my brother. See, that's a mark of true regeneration. We come together and we want to fellowship with God's people. No such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian, right? Some of us guys, maybe especially, we like to think of ourselves as the Lone Ranger. I mean, forget Tonto for a second. You know, I just come into town, I'm on my horse, and I could do it, you know? And I can do this Christian thing without the church. In fact, I can do this Christian thing without baptism. I can do this Christian thing without reading my Bible and prayer. I mean, I'm God's child and we're good. And that's pride. Saul was humbled when he came to Christ. We're all are humbled when we come to Christ. And as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, what do we have to do? We have to continue in humility. That means, Lord, what will you have me to do? Lord, I am praying for your help. Lord, I'm listening to your word. Lord, I have been baptized. I identify with your people. And finally, I want to be with my brothers and sisters. I want to encourage them. I want to bless them. And Lord, I'll be honest, I need to be encouraged. I'm struggling. And maybe even as I reach out to people, maybe by God's grace, you would use them to encourage me as well. That's your life. And I am very much aware that this room is filled with many, many people. And you would say, Greg, those five things, I'm not perfect, but I'm working on all five. And I say, praise God, and I know you are, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. You're a follower of Jesus. And you're taking following Jesus seriously. If you would say, Greg, these five things, I'm not sure they really describe me. Well, then, as a follower of Jesus, you would say, okay, Lord, I realize that I need to humble myself in an area, maybe more than one. And Lord, please help me. And see, even there, you don't come to the Lord and say, I'll do it. But Lord, please help me. I need you. I need you to help me. And by God's grace, he will help you as you continue to humbly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It was true in Saul's life, and by God's grace, it's true in your life. Let's pray.